If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Come on.
Welcome to Lifeblood. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful Alex Grass. Alex, are you ready to do this?
I'm ready all day, up and down, left and right.
Let's go. Alex is the author of 3 books that have broken into the Kindle Top 100. Prior to becoming an author, he's been a thrash metal band. He attended mortuary school, law school. He competed as an amateur boxer and powerlifter. He worked in the Sinai Desert. His titles are The Influencer, Black River Lantern, Drek, and most recently, A Boy's Hammer. Alex, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Sure. I mean, the easiest way to tell you about my personal life and why I do what I do is to go back and tell you about 3 years ago. 4 years ago. I was like a pretty bad alcoholic. And I went down to rehab in Florida. And while I was there, I met all kinds of different people, really amazing people. I won't get into the specifics, but I want to let them keep their anonymity. But there were people from all over. There were Rhodes Scholars. There was a former senator who was there from long enough ago that I feel comfortable saying it. There were, CFOs and CEOs. And the one thing that I learned from them was that, like, nobody looks back on their life and says, I really wish that I just played it safe and, did some, good old fashioned economic satisficing and walked down the middle road. And while I was down there, I just had a complete orbit rotation around the world, a personal philosophy flipping moment. And I took a hard look at what I was doing. And at the time I was writing op-eds, editorializing in places like Washington Examiner and Forbes and a couple other places. And I enjoyed it, but I found that, and this is well before, I guess you'd call the widening gap in civil society. It's just a lot of tension to write about that stuff. There's never a moment where you're not in some way being a flunky for one ideological side or the other. And while I was down in Florida, I learned more about Stephen King, and I found that Stephen King had, he'd never really been into anything else other than speculative fiction, but he had wrestled with his own demons. And I read a book of his that was very much recovery centered. The main character is Danny Torrance. He's the kid of, Jack Torrance from the of Shining fame. Many people won't have read the book, but certainly, at a certain generation, everybody's seen The Shining. Sure. My dad, before I started, my dad hated horror. He'd seen The Shining, and there was just something that struck me in a very, very, deep seated way, where it's like, I guess physically the comparison would be like, if you ever had like the cops behind you and you feel something that's like, like prickles at the back of your neck, but also it's like tugging on your bowels and like hitting your heart.
Sure.
But in a positive way. That's the feeling I had, you know? And I really fell in love, like head over heels love with speculative fiction and horror, but like very good horror. And it's really something to do, like when you're you know, middle age and you're coming around, and you find like a new passion, and it happens while your whole life is changing, you know, and it's all changed for me. It's all changed for the better. It's like, it's remarkable. It's like, you look at it as like dumb luck, like, wow. Yeah. So like, I feel so like, no, it doesn't happen to anybody, but it happened to me. I was so happy about it, you know?
Well, I think that's amazing. Serendipity, dumb luck, whatever term you want to use, it happened.
Yeah.
So that was three and a half, four years ago.
More than 4 years ago, actually. Now I'm thinking about, because I've counted it out with my old man. You know, we talk about this all the time.
Got it. Nice. Well, I appreciate that. So it sounds like you obviously have a writing background. So is it fair to say that you knew how to write, or that you were a good writer?
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't mean like, oh yeah, like, oh yeah, I'm a good writer. No. I mean, I come from, so, okay. So here's a little anecdote. This tells you how I fell in love with words. I used to go up to my dad starting at like 5 or 6 years old. And I'd be like, you know, hey dad, what does contemptuous mean? Actually, a lot of the time I'd go after he yelled at me. He's like, you behave the way you behave. Why are you so contemptuous of me and your mother? And I'm like, what does that mean? We had a big dictionary. You remember like back in the day, you had like people who come, they'd sell you like the
Encyclopedia
Britannica. Sure. Yeah, exactly. So we used to get like a new huge dictionary, you know, the big one, the library binding, every 3 or 4 years. And I remember like my dad forced me from a young age to go and look up words. And then who knows why this happens, you know, because I got three younger brothers. And none of them are like this. I mean, they're all in their own way very remarkable. But I would just start like looking at the dictionary, you know. And sometimes my brothers would make fun of me, you know, because I was not that guy. I was not a book nerd, you know. I was not. I mean, I thought I wasn't. I read a lot, but in school, you know, like I liked, you know, like for example, in high school, like I started a poker game and a gin game, and like we get in trouble because we had like a gambling in the school, and you know, like I was always smoking in the bathroom, and like I was not that guy, you know. But I did fall in love with words. I would be like reading the dictionary, you know, like 10, 11, and it was on this rostrum, kind of like almost like a cherry podium, and I'd go up and I'd be flipping through it, and then you know, like the brother closest to me in age, he'd be like, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. I wasn't learning for the sake of learning.
That was certainly not happening.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I'm very, very lucky that I came from a family where it was, you know, writing was very important. My grandfather, my grandfather's on both sides. My mother's father was a law professor, and he was a beautiful writer. I mean, he never ended up writing fiction, but you know, I had seen correspondence, and there's this amazing video of him where he, and I showed it to my youngest brother, Harrison, and he looked at, and he said it perfectly. He said, wow, grandpa speaks like a book. You know, he just, it was like, pure flow, you know, like just seamless narration, like you were hearing everything described in my grandfather's life, like it was a Morgan Freeman reading of the Shawshank Redemption, you know.
Amazing, I love it. So, as you're writing now, where do your ideas come from? Are they constantly coming? How do you decide what you're going to write your next book on?
Well, so I think that someone who's regularly writing, this is at least this is my experience, has probably like 50 ideas for every one good one, you know? And you definitely hear stories about authors who just leave a vast correspondence and a lot of unfinished projects behind. Usually what happens is that when like it's the idea, you know, like a really good idea, it becomes very, very clear. And, you know, all the books that I've written that have, you know, just been of that caliber, the higher caliber, have been finished in about like a month or maximally, you know, like 6 weeks, you know, like the latest one, A Boy's Hammer. Between 120, 130,000 words, it's a 600-page plus book, and it was written in, you know, about 6 weeks. I'll circle back to answering the question, but I should just say, like, if you're a writer out there, that should not be your standard. Those 6 weeks are miserable.
There's
3 days out of the week I'm not sleeping, and, you know, like very bad personal habits. it's how I can do it, you know? But the ideas, they can come from anywhere. And I think the best way to have new ideas is to experience life and be.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101 night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
Attentive to what you're doing at the time until, you know, like just, you know, not to sound like, you know, like the old curmudgeon, but like put down your phone, sort of watch what's going on, and the ideas will come to you. You know, the idea for Dret came from, I was sitting in, my wife had to go to an orientation for a hospice care service because she was getting in clinical hours. She's at med school right now. And this is prior to med school, but I sat and there was this guy who gave a lecture on, you know, his job matching people to hospice patients. And the whole outline for Dret came out in about like an hour while I was sitting there and I was writing it down. But I was also drawing from the speaker, you know, like I was. It's really interesting to like to be an adult and to take notes on something that you're really listening to, and the notes are for nothing else other than what you want, you know. Because you see in school, like there's two reasons people take notes. Okay, one, because they're a gunner student and they're trying to transcribe everything, right? Or two, because they want the teacher to see that they're taking notes. And I was doing it for neither.
None of those was going on there. That's awesome. So you said 600 pages. Did you say 120,000 words?
I think the final count was 123.
123,000 words. Yeah. I think that's hard for people that, and that would be hard for me to get my brain around, other than I started writing again 5 months ago, and I write 1,000 words a day, and I just did 100 posts. And so it took me 5 months to write 100,000 words, and it took you, 4 weeks. That's crazy. Well,
by the way, that your habit is like, that's a really excellent habit. 1,000 words a day is really excellent. You know, one of my favorite dark fantasy authors is a guy named Joe Abercrombie. He writes amazing books, and he hits about 1,000 a day, you know? The other thing is, like, I think you're writing on economics and finance, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, it's not quite the,
No, totally different, but
it's totally different. I mean, like, I would say for every 1,000 words on economics and finance, that's as hard as writing, like 3,000 in fiction, I think, and fiction writers won't like to hear that, but they have a pretty high, they have pretty high self-regard, even though they're self-loathing. It's a paradox, but that's the way all creative people are,
Yeah. So I think that that's awesome. Have a high self-regard and perhaps an equally high sense of self-loathing. So yeah. you frenetically, I don't know if the term is frenetically, you are impressively writing for 4 to 6 weeks, hundreds of thousands of words. And I think you mentioned you were communicating with your editor right now. How does that process work?
So it's become a pretty unique relationship. So, my editor, she just changed the name of her company. I wish I could remember it. It was originally Holy Mel Edits, and now it's, hold on 1 second. Hey, Eric. Not in Vain Editing. Thank you.
Nice.
So it's, she created the company, and her husband, Eric, is the project manager. And also, they have, she has a twin sister. I'll say it again, not in Vain Editing. Mel has a twin sister named Carol. We were all born on the same day.
That's wild.
Isn't that wild? I didn't even know that until about a year ago. But we have become very close. Like, I'm here, I'm just visiting, like, we just finished a Boy's Hammer. They're working on something right now, but I came here to, hang out. And, we talk, I would say me and Eric talk a couple times a week, cause he's the project manager, but he's also, really amazing, like a really amazing details guy, and a very quick learner, and he has the mind for it. So I just check in, and he's unflappable, so like I can just check in and see what's going on. And the truth is in the editing, a good editor or an author who knows how to work with an editor will let them do their job. So the answer is really, I'm only interacting for work when they need something from me, and until this last book, there was like really never any pushback from me. And then there was, and then I was totally wrong. And I ended up doing everything that Mel wanted me to do. And then I got a starred review from Kirk. It's the first one ever.
Nice.
So, I actually called her up. And I said, I just want you to know, you were totally right. I was completely wrong. And my wife is sitting across the table from me and listening, because she's in med school, but she's doing like a lot of it remotely. And Mel is very self-effacing. My editor is very self-effacing. She's like, no, it was a group effort. And my wife cuts in. She's like, don't tell him that. You don't know. Don't take that away. You tell him he's wrong.
That's awesome.
But I think that's the last thing I would say is, like, I think that's really important in everything. If you want to succeed, you have to get rid of your ego. You have to kill your darlings. You have to listen, because especially if you trust somebody, they're not trying to hurt you, and you're never the genius you think you are, you know? Like, I'm not, and you know, it's so rare. You can almost all of us can rest assured that we're not the genius that can veto, you know, the editor or the coworker or the colleague who gives us some, you know, some helpful advice.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You said that you got your first review from something or someone.
Well, first starred review. So like in the, like a starred review from Kirkus is sort of like, you know, it'd be like, I don't know.
Like a Michelin star or something?
Yeah, maybe something like it. Yeah. I mean, the Michelin star is pretty serious. I know because my wife's brother is a chef. So it's, let's just say it's real good.
Nice. You know? Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And you can attribute all of that to Mel, the editor.
Not in vain editing. That's right. Plug, plug, plug.
I love it. So do you, as these ideas come, you've got 50 to one and you are able to see, yep, this one is, we're definitely going with it. How do you have a plan for how many books you want to be writing over a set amount of time, like in a year or something like that?
It's ended up being about three a year. You know, COVID was sort of a strange time. It wasn't that I wasn't writing. It just happened that. So I guess it's been, maybe it has been a year, or has it been 2 years? I would say probably the norm, you know, moving forward would probably be about three a year, you know, because the editing process is, you know, look, editing is much, much, much more work intensive than writing, you know. I would say about three a year. And then along with those three, there's probably like two books worth of stuff that will never see the light of day, you know, just different projects that have started and stopped, or, you know, like I'll write something and go back and just, you know, even with my personal bias, I'll be like, man, this is just trash. You know, this is just like dumpster. This is trash panda in a dumpster fire, you know? But yeah, I think three a year, and that's like, that keeps me busy, but also I still have like a lot of time to myself, you know?
Yeah. Busy and sane at the same time. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All the things. As Julia Cameron would say, you need to take care of your inner author. I don't know if she would actually say that or not. Anyway, yeah. Well, Alex, people are ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
I think the difference-making tip is that be wary of people trying to give you exotic advice. Usually doing very well is as simple as, you know, very common sense people have said in the past. My favorite quote, one of them is from Thomas Edison. Opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and it looks like work, you know? So the difference making tip is work very hard. And I would addend to that the thing I said before about editing, like, and know that your work isn't precious, you know? It, be humble about it. Work hard and be humble, because you will be wrong most of the time. And even if you're, you know, end up being one of the elite of elite in your field, it'll only be because you've spent a lifetime striving and failing and slowly getting up above the 50% mark, you know? That's it. That's not one tip, but you know, shit. Oh shoot. Sorry.
I think those are great stuff. That definitely gets, come on. I love it. Be wary of exotic advice. I've never heard it put like that before, but I think that that is 100% correct. Work hard and be humble. Solid. Well, Alex, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? Where can they get your books?
Books are all available on Amazon. Just type in Alex Grass, Alex regular spelling, grass, like the green grass. My old man used to say that when he answered the phone all the time. You can follow me on Goodreads, which is it's the only place, but I mean, it's a really great place for readers, a really great place for authors. It's very open, and I've heard from authors and readers, it's fantastic if you love reading. Goodreads.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Alex your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to Amazon, pick up all of his books, pick up The Influencer, Black River Lantern, Drek, and his newest, A Boy's Hammer, all under Alex Grass, and then also find him on Goodreads, and we'll link all those in the notes. Thanks again, Alex.
Thanks, George.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are all in this together.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.